The final text that I would like to consider in our study of fasting and the temptation to gluttony in the early monastic tradition, in the context of understanding monastic asceticism, is an article taken from the American Benedictine Review by Father Adalbert de Vogüé, which is an extremely controversial article. It's the basis for a book on fasting, which I don't think it would be too extreme to say has scandalized many parts of the monastic world, partly because of the indictment, which we'll see Father de Vogüé levels against virtually every part of monasticism, and also partly because he argues for a return to a discipline of fasting, which to some seems absurd. It is very much the discipline of fasting in the early church, which we saw comes from the Jewish tradition, namely fasting during the daylight hours, or at least until late afternoon, and taking effectively only one meal per day. But, as he notes at the end of this article, that means one has to eat as much at a single meal as one would eat at all three of the other meals in an ordinary regime. And this seems to people to be a very strange practice, and even a form of gluttony in its own bizarre way. So Father de Vogüé's emphasis on the goodness of this kind of a practice, his description of his own experience of it, and his attempt to encourage others to do it, has evoked a great deal of protest, surprise, and negative response throughout the monastic world, not only in the Benedictine world, but also in the Cistercian and in the Trappist communities as well. This is a very interesting article, not only because it's controversial, but because it represents one approach to taking seriously the tradition of fasting. I don't myself believe that it's the only approach that need be taken, nor do I believe that his approach is perhaps the very best way of re-implementing fasting in our own time. But it does represent someone's attempt to take it seriously and to recognize that indeed, if there is a monastic practice that is not taken seriously in the monastic world, it is certainly the practice of fasting. So let's take a look at this article. I have arbitrarily added numbers to the paragraphs to allow it to be a little bit easier for me to call attention to various sections of it. In paragraphs 1 to 3, Father de Vogüé does a wonderful job of reminding us of the monastic tradition of fasting as it's found in the Rule of Saint Benedict. And he points out and concedes that Benedict is making more moderate a tradition of fasting that is stricter in his primary source, in the Rule of the Master. He points out that Benedict permits two meals a day, particularly in festal seasons, particularly during Easter, and not every day, but on some days at other times of the year, and that it's primarily during Lent and penitential exercises that one fasts until the ninth hour, that is to say, doesn't take any food until about mid-afternoon, excepting, of course, on Sundays. This would have been the monastic discipline of Saint Benedict, and it does represent a moderation of a stricter approach that had been taken in the Rule of the Master. However, Father de Vogüé points out that in paragraph 4, that the reality is that at present there is no real fasting in any monastery of which he's aware, simply by definition, since if breakfast is provided and if people take breakfast, that means they are not fasting. Fasting means not eating during the daylight hours for him. So if you have breakfast, you are not fasting. He doesn't know of any monastery where three meals are not available virtually every day of the year, including Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. So he's calling into question the virtually universal monastic practice in which fasting is very limited and is more or less restricted to abstention from certain kinds of food or certain quantities of food. But as he points out in paragraph number 5, again, according to his definition, which is the definition of ancient Judaism and the early church, to fast does not consist in eating less, but in not eating at all, at least during the daylight hours. So, what one then finds is that in paragraphs 8 through 10, Father de Vogüé recounts his own experience. He basically explains how he in his early life, in his life in the cenobium, in the community, found it difficult, if not impossible, to recover this older tradition of fasting, but that when he began to live in the hermitage, he began to be able to make this experiment of trying to live out the tradition of fasting effectively, not eating at all during the daylight hours and taking only one meal at night. Effectively, dinner is his only meal. And he describes his own regime, which consists of a significant and ongoing intellectual and physical activity during the day, as well as a regular walk, which he's able to do and fast during the day. And as he points out, I'm not a toughie. That is to say, he doesn't believe that it's because he has any particular stamina that this is possible, but because he is simply willing to try as an experiment something that was done by our monastic forebears. He asks in particularly sections 11 through 17 and 18, why have we abandoned the tradition of fasting that comes to us from antiquity? And there are a variety of reasons that are offered. Some would say it has to do with the work that is necessary in modern monasteries, that we cannot do this work and somehow fast, but he says he's disproven that by his own experience. He also provides various other kinds of reflections, suggesting that it's just that people today are not capable of the kind of strictness that existed in antiquity, and again he brushes that aside, claiming that he's been able to do it himself, so why can't it be done in our own day? And then he finally, towards the end of the article, if we don't mind dropping down now, and please do go back and notice how he attempts to restate in sections paragraphs 22 through 26 the monastic interpretation of fasting found in the early tradition, especially as one finds it in Cassian and in some of the other early fathers. His own experience accords with theirs. He believes there's a clarity of vision that one acquires, that indeed the physical desires and the capacity for chastity improves. Disordered desires, he says, tend to be less problematic if one has adopted this regime of fasting. And then in Numbers 27 through 33, he describes his actual practice of fasting. He points out again in number 27 that one eats only once a day, but that means you have to eat as much in that one meal as you would eat during the other three, and the meal lasts as long as eating would last if you added those three times together. So it's a good long meal. He says you also save time in terms of setting up the table and cleaning up after yourself, so that even though it takes longer, strictly speaking, from the single meal standpoint, nevertheless, the preparation and so forth means that you actually save time. He also goes on then to conclude with a restatement of his practice in number 32. He talks about the fact that it is not just a question of quantity, but also, as he puts it, of time. The monk takes what is necessary, but only eats once a day. This is a return to the strict form of the ancient practice. Again, this goes beyond what Saint Benedict requires in the rule, and indeed, he's suggesting that one can have as a daily routine what would have been understood as being the stricter fast applicable to Wednesdays and Fridays and then penitential seasons in the early church. Father de Vogüé is convinced that this can be a characteristic of monasticism, that we are not taking asceticism seriously enough in our own day, and that a return to the earlier practice would be, from his perspective, physiologically and psychologically sound and would restore a sense of seriousness to our monastic practice. I think it's very useful to read this article, to be aware of his arguments. I think it's unlikely that one will agree completely with them. I certainly have my problems with certain aspects of his presentation. But on the whole, I think it is a very challenging effort at taking seriously an ancient practice and an ancient discipline. And we certainly can learn from what he himself has experienced as he's reincorporated this tradition into his own life. I believe there are other physiological arguments that have to be brought to bear, that it may well be that eating less multiple times per day is less likely to cause physiological problems for people, especially people with certain kinds of metabolic difficulties. It may also turn out to be better from a cardiovascular standpoint, but if someone is as active as Father de Vogüé is in terms of taking that rather long walk each day, then there's probably that probably offsets what might be the difficulties that one might encounter with the prolonged digestion of a very large amount of food. But those are my own minor physiological considerations. My goal is that you read this, reflect on it, and then perhaps ask the question, what aspects of the tradition he's describing might it be possible to modify or to implement in our own day?